I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you using the talents that God gave you? Are you? Really think about it here. It's a tough question. Tough question for a Christian, because a yes means you will put in the effort. You have to. While a no means God will put you outside His kingdom. And that's a tough reality. And it actually makes you think there's got to be some gray area, right? There's got to be some sort of not quite, I mean, one or the other, that binary, right? Like last week, we touched on the parable of the talents. And I had mixed feelings while we were going through it. When we were kind of ripping into that nervous one talent guy who just buried his master's money because he was just so afraid of doing something wrong. Right? I mean, that seems kind of understandable. I felt for the poor guy. So we're going to take a closer look at him today, all right? Because I did a little bit more digging here, and I do not think that this guy gets a fair shake. And I want to make the case that he is, in fact, not as bad as he seems in the story. He's much, much worse. Much worse. In fact, this guy is a grade A real jerk. Yeah. So with that in mind, see if you agree. I want you to read along with me here, and we're going to see what you think, okay? Jesus told us this parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability." That's what determined it. "Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 more talents. So also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent, he went off, and he dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought out the other 5, and he said, 'Master, hey, master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' And the man with 2 talents also came, and he said, 'Master, me too, master. You entrusted me with,'" he's smaller in this because he's got 2 talents. "'You entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received the 1 talent, he came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was a little afraid. I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. So here's what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, what do you think? Undeserved or just deserved? It's kind of a tricky call there. Well, we're going to dig in here. Well, because we've been talking about the treasures of truth in God's word. And last week, we read part of this parable because it showed how treasure is handled, supposed to be handled, and is handled in our heavenly home. And guess what? It's shared. Surprise, surprise, okay? I hope you saw that one coming. It's shared in our heavenly home. That's what we do. Of course it is. That makes sense. However, the surprising part is that the sharing is mandatory. Mandatory. And somehow, it's perfectly fair to punish not sharing as a very serious offense. And that's a little jarring. So why exactly should we believe that Mr. One Talent deserved everything that he got? We got to dig in to find those answers. And I'll tell you what, it's going to start with getting a little perspective. This is any time that you're having difficulty with any part of Scripture, this is your first go-to. Get some perspective on the situation. Because you see, talents were not coins, all right? I think we think that, we just assume that, and it's wrong. Talents are not coins. They were the largest measure of currency in Jesus' day. And a single denarius, this is a denarius right here from that time. A single denarius was given for the average day's wage, which we know from the Bible. But a talent was equal to 6,000 of them, which means one talent was equal to about 6,000 days' pay, or almost 20 years of work, okay? One talent is big money. We don't know that. But you know what? These servants knew that. And they knew their master. And they knew the business. So this had opportunity written all over it. Because there was no middle class in Jesus' day, and the few who had this kind of money that they could entrust such large quantities, they weren't looking to create competition here. But they were always just looking to consolidate wealth. So this was a very rare chance for the servants to show what they know and prove themselves as prospects for that elite class of the wealthy. Think of it this way. It'd be like owning the sole single concession stand at Lumen Field. Okay? You have the one, the big bratwurst. Just that one. And nobody else is there. And so you turn it over to one of your managers for a Monday night football game, and you go off on vacation. But when you return from vacation, you find out that they never even opened the doors. Feeling a little mad? Yeah, I would be. Because old one talent knew better. He knew what this was. He was not being safe. He was being lazy. That's what was happening. And he wasn't actually just being lazy, but wicked as well, and self-centered, because all the money was still at risk. You know, if he's afraid because, oh, I don't want to put it in jeopardy, it was still at risk, because if anything happened to this guy, the only one who knew where it was buried, right, well, then the master's money would have been lost forever. So he's just looking out for number one here. The only difference between him and the other servants was that his talent had absolutely no chance for profit, even though it still had chance for great loss. And so that makes me think of this English guy right here. Looks pretty happy, doesn't he? You would be too if you were him, because this guy was out hunting for coins back in 2010 when his metal detector gave a funny signal, and after digging down about a foot, he unearthed this clay jar. And to prove the point here, something must have actually happened to whoever hid that, because it still contained over 50,000 ancient coins that were buried about 250 years after this parable that we're talking about right here. nuts. That is crazy. And so, sure, yeah, it's worth millions now. But back then, the coins were worth about 4 years' wages for a Roman soldier. So I want you to consider this, okay, for that perspective. Old one talent buried about five times that amount. It's not the picture that we had in our head, right? I mean, that is unbelievable. I don't care what century you're in. That is gross negligence. Because he not only deliberately wasted this golden opportunity, but he cares so little about the master who gave it that he's reckless with his massive assets. And if that's not enough, okay, if I'm not making the case enough, here is the frosting for him being the jerk, okay? After he gets called out for his mistake and mishandling, he blames his behavior on the master himself. Because he said, I knew, this is him being a crusty whiner, I knew that you were a hard man. You know, meaning callous and harsh. You harvest where you've not sown, and gathering where you've not scattered seed. You're dishonest and corrupt. I'm the victim here. But that's not true. That is not how the story goes. Right? Look at the facts. The facts say that this was a master who entrusted his own fortunes to servants. All right? That's a big step. And then he praised them for their efforts. And then he rewarded and promoted them. And then, after all that, he invited them to the VIP section to party with the CEO himself. Old one talent has got it all conveniently wrong, just so that he can justify what he did by saying, I was afraid. He changed the whole narrative so that he could come up with this excuse. But it's so obviously not the master's heart. That's not what it's. And the master exposes this excuse as a lie. He says, that's a lie. And all he has to do is simply point out the flaw in the logic. When he says, okay, so you knew that I harvest where I've not sown. And you gather where I've not scattered seed. Okay, that's how I am, all right? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest, if that's true, if that's who you are, if that's what you think. Because if this guy really actually buried it because he was so afraid of his ruthless master, well, then he would have at least put it in the bank for actual safekeeping. And a little bit of a return, have something to offer. He could have. He knows that. But I mean, come on, right? If that's what the master wanted, he could do that. There's no reason for him to give it to the servants to do something so simple. That's not what he's doing, right? If he wanted that, he would have done it. Think, man, the only reason it was ever in your hands, Mr. One Talent, was to give you an opportunity. And even if, let's just still give you the benefit of that, if you were really so blinded by your fear, well, then why didn't you change your plan when you saw what your coworkers were doing? Right? They're sitting there, they're multiplying, it's working, and you're not doing anything. I call shenanigans. I do not believe it. This is not how it went. These actions were not the result of fear, but a lack of it. More like arrogance, more like a guy who was just thinking about number one. So you tell me now, after this, did this lazy, self-centered, wicked, and reckless liar deserve to get kicked out? Yep. Yeah, I think I rest my case. I changed my vote. I changed my vote to a yes. I think so. And I mean, you got to ask yourself, though, because this is kind of counterintuitive when you first hear it. It's a strange progression that you have to really recognize and understand. And so you got to ask yourself, wow, interesting, profound. Why are you telling me this, Jesus? Why is this the story that you're giving me? What does it mean for me? What can I learn? What can we learn from this one talent goofus? If you recall Goofus and Gallant from Highlights magazine, you guys remember that? You know, Goofus is the, don't be like Goofus. This is the guy. He's the bad example. Learn from him. And we can actually learn quite a few really important lessons from this guy and what he did on what not to do. And it's important for every single one of us who is not a fan of weeping or gnashing teeth. And I think that's everyone in the room. It does not sound good to me. And I'll tell you what, first off, here's what we should learn. There is no such thing as a no-talent servant. Doesn't exist. In this parable, we see that, right? Each servant was given something. And likewise, God's put big, huge treasures into each of our hands because we have all been entrusted with so much, with natural abilities, with unique individual understanding. We've all got timely situations. We've got caring connections in every single one of our lives. We've got profitable possessions. And of course, we all have rare opportunities that allow us to show the master where our heart is really at. So the real question is really, do you recognize that? Do you recognize the talents that you've got, that you've been given as the treasure from God that was given with the intention of investing it back into his heavenly kingdom? Do you get that? Or are you burying what you got? Burying what you've been given to focus on turning a personal profit in earthly pursuits. Because that's kind of the default of the flesh. What can I get down here with what I got? But I'm here to tell you, this is just a friendly reminder, guys. The only investments that matter are the ones that follow us into eternity. This is more what it looks like down here. That's where you wind up, okay? So, as we're told, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. No laziness here. All your heart as working for the Lord. Not for men. Not for earthly things. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. That's where it comes from. It is, in case there was any clarification needed, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Got it? In case we're that dull, he really walks us through it, says he is the master and we are the servants. And he's given us his talents to see how we handle them, which means keeping them above ground and in action, turning a profit. And so I know, again, that's a little bit intimidating, can be a little bit scary. We can be a little bit fearful, which is why I initially really felt for this guy, right? Because it does require some risk to invest your talents in his kingdom, because it means stepping out in faith and facing the very real possibility of embarrassment or disappointment or even failure. But just like the two servants who didn't get chewed out, we can seize the opportunity if we just keep our eyes on the prize, all right? We should be eager to grow what we've been given when we stay excited to show the one who gave it. That's what we're doing down here. We're working with what we got because I can't wait for that day to say, see, see, look what I got. Look what I got with what you gave. You just got to make sure that you pay no attention to old one talent's take on the master, all right? Because that guy, he's a liar. He's a liar. Instead, you got to trust Jesus's picture of a God who is excited. He's excited to see whatever it is that you got with what he gave you. Because that's why he gave it. He wants to see that. He can't wait to see that, whatever it is. So wherever, at home, in your home life, at work, in school, or right here, especially right here at his place, risk something. Risk something. That is so important. Because one talent's little tale also teaches us a really important lesson, that God expects a return on his investment. That's why he put it in our hands. The same way. He could do whatever he wanted with it. He put it in our hands, in your hands, for a reason. He wants to see what you do with it. And he wants you to turn a profit. And that day of accounting, where he comes home and he wants to settle up, well, you're going to want to be ready for your audit. You really are, by making sure that you're building the balance where God looks for his bottom line. And I'll tell you, it's in here. There's a hint to its location right here in the parable. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things." Did you catch it? The praise is for their faith, not for their results. That's what he's looking for, because the bottom line, God's bottom line, is found in our heart, not on a ledger. That's the real return that God wants. Progress. Progress at all, at whatever rate. He just wants movement. That's how you build the kingdom. You do something at some rate, because any improvement whatsoever means someone seized an opportunity to grow and they got better. They got better. That's what we're doing here. We're just getting better. And progress at any rate, whatever the rate is, that's all that an eternally patient master needs. He will take his time with you, but he just has no time for somebody who's doing nothing. And that's why both of the faithful servants, they got the same reward, even though they had different returns, right? They turned a different profit, but they got the same thing, because he doesn't care about that. He just cares about what you did. Did you turn a profit? Because he said, here's what I give both of them. Both of them, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Both of them, 2, 5, could have been 1. Because God loves to give promotions as our ability increases. That's encouraging. Anything that we do, that any increase that we show, whatever the amount, you just got to be ready. And here's good news, bad news, right? You got to be ready for more authority, more influence, and more responsibility. And that's cool, right? That's good. That's a promotion that makes you feel like you're making that progress. He wants to encourage you along that. But just make sure that you realize that's not the reward, all right? That's just the means to the end. That's to help you continue to grow, because the real reward that he's working to this entire time is that sharing in the master's happiness. Because that is something that you can't buy. You can't earn it. And you can't make it on your own. It only comes from him and with him. No, the master's happiness is the completely unique pinnacle of pleasure. It is something that just far exceeds everything that we're chasing. It is the true joy that comes when serving others in God's name. It just feels a little foreign to us, because it eludes us as long as we continue to chase the lesser joy of serving ourselves, which is our default stance, right? That's what our flesh says. That's what down here says. Serve yourselves. But we only choose that. We only choose that option of serving ourselves because we don't naturally know his unique joy and peace that comes from serving in his name, that passes our human understanding. But we can know it. The good news. We just got to get there. We got to learn it. We got to silence that flesh. But I get it still. Okay, still. I understand if you're worried. I still understand if you're a little hesitant. It takes a lot to get me in motion. But if you're still worried about putting yourself out there, just remember in this parable, in our example, Jesus does not offer an example of a servant who uses his talents and loses the master's money. It's not in there. And you know why? Because that's not how it works. That's an impossibility. Remember, it is the faith that pays off every single time. You can't mess that up as long as you do it. When we risk our talents, whatever they are, for God's kingdom, we cannot lose. That's good news. In fact, the only way that we can lose is if we hide our talents or bury them in those earthly pursuits. It's the only way. Because this third lesson that we can learn was already learned last week, remember? Only the buried talents are the ones that are taken away. Because burying never makes things better. That's not why you die and we put you in the ground not expecting a whole lot, right? That does not make things better, only worse. Remember Miss Belvedere, right? I love that example from last week. That is so true, right? Pristine, what was the car? It's an old person's car. What was it?
Belvedere.
But what was the year? It was a 57. A 57 Plymouth, is that what? Anyway, I don't know. But I saw it and I went, wow, that was shiny and new and very cool. And it goes in and it just was ruined. That is unbelievable in a relatively short amount of time. But that is what happens to things that are kept down here. Every single thing. That's where it goes. That's entropy, regression, degradation. That's how it works down here. And the master knows that. He created this place. He created those laws. And that's why he's giving us the opportunity to learn from him before we learn from here. And that's the simple secret of the success of the two who got it right, right there. Know the master. Actually know who the master is. Know him and what he's saying to you. That's all you need to know. Then you'll be motivated to do the right thing. Know here as well. It's only when we ignore or reject who he really actually is that we can treat his entrusted talents carelessly. When we say, oh, no, you're not that guy. You're cold and hard and distant. Then we can make up our own narrative and do whatever we want, treat those things carelessly. But that right there, that's when we choose to learn the hard way down here, where we only get to gain the rotting treasures that earth has to offer. I don't want them. I've seen them. I don't want them. Which brings us to our last lesson from One Talent's little stupid strategy, I'll tell you. Buried talents bring regret and anguish. All right? Do not forget. It's an important, sometimes we kind of push some of the things we don't want to hear aside, but you got to make sure you hear this right here. The parable ends with both encouragement, we like to hang on to that, but also it has a pretty stern and scary warning. Because it said, everyone who has will be given more. Yay! And he will have an abundance. Hurrah! Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And then throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, good news or bad news? How do you see that? It's always been up to us. Always up to us. Because sadness and regret is the return in this life and after it for wasting the incredible opportunities that God has given each one of us. Well, joy and excitement, oh, never-ending true godly joy and excitement, that's the reward for all progress at any rate. And that big day of accounting is coming. Guys, we can't ignore it. It is coming. We all have an expiration date. The master's coming home. We're going to see. And we're going to have to show what we did with what we were given. So, I get it. Sure, it is true. It can be very risky business. But if you just use your God-given talents to turn a tiny profit for the kingdom, well done, faithful servant. It's party time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we know that you are our loving, loving Master. And we thank you for entrusting us with all of your riches. So Holy Spirit, help us to seize the opportunities to invest our talents in this world for your heavenly kingdom. And Lord Jesus, we love you and follow your good and faithful example as the one true way into our Master's eternal happiness. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.